Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and you're listening to Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. We have quite a few updates from the City of Kingston this evening. To start us off, City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston schedules affected by Easter holidays. The City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston schedules change this week and next due to the Easter holidays. Good Friday, March 29th, and Easter Monday, April 1st. Green Bin Garbage and Recycling. There is no collection on Friday, March 29th, or Monday, April 1st. Friday's material will be collected on Saturday, March 30th, and Monday's collection moves to Tuesday, April 2nd. And collection moves forward a day for the rest of the week. Sign up at cityofkingston.ca/collection to receive collection reminders by phone or email, or get the free Kingston Waste app on your Apple or Android device. Kingston Area Recycling Center is closed Friday and Monday. It is open Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Kingston Transit, there is no bus service on Friday. Buses will provide regular service hours on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Kingston Access Services, no on-road service on Friday, regular service on Saturday and Sunday, with limited service on Monday. Call 613-542-2512 for information. KAS Trip Reservation Office is closed on Friday. An open regular hours on Saturday and Sunday, and on Monday, open from 7:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Administrative offices are closed on Friday through Monday. This includes Housing and Social Services and Provincial Offices at 362 Montreal Street. Recreation Facilities. All recreation facilities are closed on Friday and Monday. Open regular hours on Saturday and Sunday with one exception. The Invista Center and arenas, the ice at the Invista Center will be open due to a hockey tournament on Friday. The fitness room at the Invista Center will be closed Friday and Monday. The Kingston Frontenac Public Library is closed Friday, Sunday, and Monday. Open regular hours on Saturday. Utilities Kingston and Kingston Hydro are closed Friday and Monday. In the event of a utility emergency, customers can call the Utilities Kingston 24-hour number at 613-546-1181 or the electricity or natural gas utility provider for their area. A friendly reminder, the lowest electricity prices will be in effect for customers on the time of use and ultra-low overnight price plans on Good Friday. Test Center for Creativity and Learning is closed Friday and Monday, open regular hours on Saturday and Sunday. The Kingston Grand Theatre box office is open on Friday from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and Saturday from 12 to 4:30 p.m. It's closed Sunday and Monday. Tickets for all shows can be purchased online 24 hours a day at kingstongrand.ca. And finally, the Pump House Museum is closed Friday to Monday, reopening April 2nd. In a message from the Downtown Kingston BIA, the Downtown Kingston BIA is asking the community for help this spring to get their flower beds planted. The organization contributes approximately $30,000 annually for stunning hanging baskets and wants to see the same vibrancy on the ground. The City of Kingston has stepped in to assist by preparing the flower beds for planting and watering them throughout the year. In addition, the municipality's Public Works Department will be planting several oversized planters throughout downtown, adding color and consistency. The Downtown Kingston BIA Street Crew will be responsible for maintaining the gardens throughout the season. Executive Director of the Downtown Kingston BIA states, quote, "We need two things from the community, funding and people willing to get their hands dirty. If everyone contributes a little, we will make a big difference together in our beautiful city," end quote. The large flower beds installed during the big dig on Princess Street are home to a number of native trees that are maintained by the City of Kingston. At one time, flowers were also present, but in the last few years, with municipal funds being stretched to the limit post-COVID, the flower beds have deteriorated. Each flower bed costs between $500 to $650 for plant materials. The urban environment has to be taken into account. Some beds are in full sun all day, and some others never see direct sun because of the buildings. Things like winter salt and piles of snow that accumulate in the flower beds is also a factor in choosing the plants. The Downtown Kingston BIA is working with a local landscape designer to ensure the flower beds will be sustainable. There are two ways to contribute financially: corporate sponsorship and in memoriam sponsorship. In return, there will be information on their website, social media acknowledgement, inclusion in press and media opportunities, and a plaque placed in the flower bed for passersby to view. The BIA emphasizes that corporate responsibility and community engagement are essential for companies looking to engage and attract customers, employees, and supporters, particularly millennials. The number of people that set foot in the downtown core is impressive. With over 390,000 unique visitors and more than 12 million visits in 2023, and these numbers are expected to grow as the community continues to recover from the pandemic. If fundraising is successful, the flower beds are scheduled to be planted in the first week of June, but many volunteers are needed. Each bed will include 9 mixed perennials, 3 flowering shrubs, and 3 evergreens. With enough volunteers and community groups helping, the job should be complete in a day. If you or someone you know is interested and able to contribute to bringing downtown Kingston to life this spring, call 613-542-8677. Email Maryjo at downtownkingston.ca, that's M-A-R-I-J-O at downtownkingston.ca, or visit downtownkingston.ca/blooms for more information. Council signs Montreal Pledge in support of biodiversity action. Council has reaffirmed the city's commitment to sustainability and biodiversity conservation efforts in Kingston by signing the Montreal Pledge. Cities United in Action for Biodiversity. At its March 19th meeting, Council voted to authorize Mayor Brian Patterson to sign and submit a letter of support to the City of Montreal to become a signatory of the pledge. Delegations appeared before Council speaking to the importance of contributing to the global action. Becoming a signatory city aligns with Council's 2023 to 2026 strategic plan, which includes a commitment to establish a strategy for protecting and enhancing biodiversity in the city. Kingston is currently engaged in a variety of programs and initiatives that reflect the values of the Montreal Pledge. Montreal hosted the Conference of the Parties to the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity in 2022, and the city invited municipalities across the world to make a commitment to protect biodiversity. The Montreal Pledge established 15 tangible actions that cities can take towards pursuing and accelerating their efforts to preserve ecosystems. The 15 tangible actions are summarized in 3 broad categories: reduce threats to biodiversity, share benefits of biodiversity, and create solutions through cross-cultural governance, management, and education. More than 60 major cities from across the world have already committed to the Montreal Pledge. Signatories to the Montreal Pledge are invited to voluntarily monitor their progress using Cities with Nature, an international platform highlighting the commitments and initiatives undertaken to promote biodiversity protection. City staff will use the registry to track the city's progress towards the Montreal Pledge's 15 actions. Jejunhe Ankwawana, also known as TTO, Brooke McElroy, and Nyakon started construction for a new language and cultural center last week. The Language and Cultural Center will be located at 39 Salmon River Road within Tandanega Mohawk Territory on land provided by the Mohawks of the Bay of Quinte. Designs were completed by Winnipeg-based Brooke McElroy's Indigenous Design Studio. And the project will be managed by Dr. Daniel Brandt of Daniel J. Brandt & Associates, a Tandanega Mohawk Territory-based project management firm. Nyakon is responsible for the building's construction, which is estimated to be completed in fall of 2025. The center will house the existing TTO language programs, and it will provide educational and cultural programs for community members, non-Indigenous organizations, and individuals who are interested in deepening their understanding of Mohawk cultural values and traditions to support reconciliation. It will include a teaching kitchen, an art studio, and a gathering space for up to 150 people for programs, events, and celebrations. The project is being majority funded through a $9.6 million contribution announced in June 2023 through the Government of Canada's Green and Inclusive Community Buildings Program. An additional $1 million was provided by the Mohawks of the Bay of Quinte, and fundraising of an additional $3 million will address the remainder of the project cost. To talk about this new space, I sat down with TTO Executive Director, Callie Hill.
For
Folks who aren't familiar, I was wondering if you could share a bit about TTO and your programming.
So Jijunha Ongkawana is situated in Tyendinaga Mohawk Territory, or Kuntege. We are incorporated not-for-profit with charitable status. And the programming that we offer in the community is all... So the mandate of Jijunha Ongkawana is creating speakers of Kanyungeha, or the Mohawk language. Mm-hmm. And so all of the programming we do is towards that goal. So we offer educational programs for children from a nursery age up to grade four. And we have adult programming. We have a partnership with Queen's University, our certificate in Mohawk language and culture that is delivered in community. And this year we have revived our full-time two-year adult immersion program. So that's the exciting news for us this year. We do a lot of like community outreach. We work with other organizations within our community and outside of our community. We're all about educating, really, and in terms of language, but also culture and traditions and who we are as people.
Yeah, absolutely. And more exciting news this week. On Monday, the construction began for a new language and cultural center. I was wondering if you could share a bit about how long this has been in the works and how we got here to putting some shovels in the ground, getting started.
Yeah, it is very exciting for us. And we've been in existence since 2000. And mm-hmm. so, and during that time, we've lived in community buildings throughout the community and, you know, leased buildings, and hasn't always been that convenient for us because we've had to split up mm-hmm. and not all be under one roof. And so this has kind of been in the works probably, you know, very early on in our life as an organization. But really, we've been really at it since around 2018 is when we really started going at it hard and applying for funding. And we're successful with Infrastructure Canada's green and inclusive community buildings, which will mean our building is net zero. So, you know, really trying to maintain being good stewards of the land. And building will offer us the opportunity to expand what we do. We'll have a gathering area that we can seat like 150 people, and we'll have an art studio and a teaching kitchen along with three classrooms, a small recording area that we can do some documentation, which we've been doing a lot of language documentation. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to have a lot of more space, and we're all very excited about it.
Yeah, amazing. And just community-wise, I'm sure it's going to be a game changer to just have that physical space where you can all meet up and run into each other and all that. That'd be awesome.
Yes, absolutely. And I really do believe that it's going to further, you know, elevate the prestige of language and culture, even within our own community, because people sometimes, you know, we're not that visible when we're in somebody else's building and we're just in a room in someone else's building, whereas we're going to have our own building, and people are going to really see how important this should be to us within the community, but also outside of the community.
Absolutely. Yeah. And is there any timeline for when you think things are going to be finalized and folks will be able to start using the space?
Well, our architects were Brooke McElroy, Indigenous Design Studio, who have offices in Winnipeg and Toronto. And we have hired Nikon Construction from Niagara Falls, who have just taken up space there this week, starting to mobilize by putting, you know, the fencing and the trailers and whatnot. And so Nikon is telling us it's about a 16-month build.
Okay.
So we're looking at fall of 2025.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'm sure you've been very mindful in how you wanted to construct this building and features you wanted to have. I was wondering if there are any features that you're really excited about that this building is going to have.
Well, we do want to maintain a really natural feel for the building. There's not a lot of steel. It's a lot of wood construction. Our main east-west hallway will kind of replicate a longhouse, a traditional Iroquois or Haudenosaunee longhouse. And then the windows into the gathering space also will kind of mirror like a Hiawatha belt on the top. We do, part of this phase of our project does include a replica longhouse on the grounds that we will be also using for educational purposes. So I'm really excited about those things. And then a natural playground, which we have already at our school, but like we stay away from the plastic stuff and just keep it as natural as we can.
Yeah, amazing. Such exciting things in the works. And leading up to that, how can folks keep up with TDO and contribute to your organization as well?
Well, like I said, we are a not-for-profit with charitable status. We are able to provide tax receipts for anyone that's interested in making a donation. We have a Canada Helps account, and people can look on our website to see all of the things we're doing. I mean, I've not even touched on half of the things we're doing, because as you know, we are in the works of our own radio station as well, mm-hmm. that will be an Indigenous Type B radio station. But our website is www.tto-kenhteke.org. And so I really do invite anyone to come and have a look. You can hear some Mohawk language on our site. We have some audiobooks. We also have another JITA website that will help people to hear the language and to learn the language. There's some fun games on there. So please go and have a look. And you will also be able to see the construction of our new building as it rolls out.
As Callie stated, TTO is a registered charity, and donations towards the center are accepted via Canada Helps or by contacting them directly.
Hello and welcome to Campus Corner. My name is Erica Singh, and here are your campus news headlines. In response to widespread food insecurity among graduate students, the Society of Graduate and Professional Students, or the SGPS, has reopened its Food Insecurity Relief Program, securing $15,000 for Loblaws gift cards, half of which will prioritize graduate students with children, caregivers, or those with disabilities. The program aims to provide essential support to members in need. The initiative closed signups on March 18th and received over 400 applications, representing nearly 10% of SGPS membership. The additional $5,000 donation from Queen's Student Affairs has bolstered the program's capacity to assist more students facing food insecurity. The reopening of the Food Insecurity Relief Program follows the closure of the previous iteration in November, when overwhelming demand left its temporary closure. With consistent advocacy efforts at Board of Trustees meetings, Valley has been instrumental in raising awareness about graduate student food insecurity and prompting discussions among university stakeholders. The initiative highlights ongoing challenges faced by graduate students, with previous programs also expressing high demand. As the university community rallies together to support those in need, initiatives like these play a crucial role in addressing food insecurity among students. Next, the University District in Kingston saw its annual St. Patrick's Day celebrations last week, with Kingston Police reporting over $25,000 in fines issued during the festivities. Despite the overall positive atmosphere, this marked an increase of $6,300 in fines compared to the previous year. Police praised attendees for their cooperation, noting a quicker dispersal compared to previous years. While the event was deemed the best in recent memory by Kingston Police, fines were still issued for various violations, including amplified sound, hosting nuisance parties, and liquor license violations. 22 fines were placed for amplified sound or disruptive behavior, with six $2,000 fines for hosting nuisance parties. Additionally, 101 liquor license violations were recorded, resulting in court summons. Two charges of public intoxication were made, leading to one arrest. Despite these violations, there were no significant safety concerns reported. The increased cooperation from students was attributed to outreach efforts by liaison teams regarding the University District Safety Initiative, which was in effect during the celebrations. The initiative aims to deter nuisance parties by increasing fine penalties during peak times. Queen's also implemented measures to maintain safety, including additional security personnel conducting bag checks in university buildings to prevent alcohol from being brought inside. Lastly, the AMS Assembly discussed significant changes to the AMS executive elections during its recent meeting, including the possibility of de-slating candidates. A motion was passed to start amending the AMS constitution, allowing candidates to run individually rather than as a team. However, concerns were raised about the feasibility of implementing such a change within the limited time frame before the final assembly on April 9th. In addition to discussion on executive elections, AMS Assembly also addressed the planned move of faculty societies into the JDOC and the delayed disbursement of student activity fees to certain faculty societies. Faculty society leaders expressed concerns about the lack of updates regarding the JDOC move, but AMS Vice President Michelle Hudson announced that the move would proceed on July 1st. Regarding the delayed disbursement of student activity fees, the AMS resolved the issue after discussions with affected faculty society leaders. These developments mark significant changes in the AMS landscape and highlight ongoing efforts to improve governance and operations within the organization. That's all for me today. Thank you so much. Now over to the weather.
For your weather report this evening, tonight we're looking at mainly cloudy skies with a 60% chance of showers this evening. We have winds 20 kilometers per hour, gusting to 40 and becoming light later this evening. We have a low of -1, wind chill -5 overnight. Looking forward to tomorrow, we have a mix of sun and cloud, winds becoming 20 kilometers per hour in the afternoon. We have a high of 7 and wind chill -5 in the morning, UV index of 5 or moderate. For tomorrow night, we're expecting clear skies with a low of -2. Finally, on Friday, we're expecting a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 7, then later on in the evening, clear skies with a low of -2. That wraps up your CFRC weather report, and next up is your traffic report for this week. Next up is your CFRC weekly traffic report. Keep in mind that reduced load restrictions are in effect in Kingston. Heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. The City of Kingston is planning for up to 500,000 visitors to the city due to the total solar eclipse on April 8th. They anticipate higher than usual traffic volumes. Residents and visitors are advised to prepare for road detours and delays in the hours before and after the eclipse. Stay tuned to their website for details about road closures, bus routes, and detours on April 8th. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to motorists due to a major rehabilitation project during the following periods. Monday, March 25th to Thursday, March 28th from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. Friday, March 29th from 8 p.m. to Monday, April 1st at 5 a.m. Monday, April 1st to Thursday, April 4th from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. And finally, Friday, April 5th at 8 p.m. to Monday, April 8th at 5 a.m. During these periods, all lanes will be closed to vehicular traffic in both directions. The sidewalks will remain open to pedestrians and cyclists. PSPC also wishes to advise motorists of an alternating lane closure on the causeway until April 30th, 2024. During this period, one lane will be closed and one lane will remain open to alternating traffic. Motorists should expect short delays. Access will be maintained for pedestrians and cyclists. PSPC encourages users to exercise caution when traveling on the bridge and thanks them for their patience. In road closures to look out for this week, University Avenue Union to Earl is still closed for the Queens JDOC project until the end of May. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is underway. The work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open to the public for the duration of the project. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. In other delays, Queen Street, Montreal to Sydenham expect an eastbound lane closure until April 1st, 2024. Detours will be in place for the duration of the closure. That wraps up your CFRC traffic report. Next up is Danielle with your events and concerts calendar.
And now it's time for the CFRC Community Concert and Events Calendar for March 25th to 31st. Have an event you'd like covered on our website and news programming? Contact us via cfrc.ca today. On March 25th, Queen's Peer Health Educator volunteers will lead a 60 to 90 minute interactive cooking session on how to prepare a quick, easy, inexpensive, and healthy recipe. All students are welcome, regardless of your skill level in the kitchen. This week's class is a collaboration with Rest and Relaxation. Come cook some Mexican food with guac, salsa, burrito bowls, and enjoy a paint night at the same time. The session will take place at 5:30 p.m. at the Queen's Student International Center. To register for $10, visit events.queensu.ca. Calling all Queen's students, on March 25th, Ultraviolet's exhilarating annual open mic night will take place at Common Ground Coffee House from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. This vibrant event is your chance to take center stage and showcase your poetry, songs, or dramatic skits. Sign up through their Instagram at Ultraviolet Magazine. Showcase your talents or simply relish the vibrant performances. On March 26th, Casually Cool, one of Queen's competitive dance teams, will be hosting a $5 drop-in class at the Athletic and Recreation Center from 6:45 to 7:45 p.m. There is no need to pre-register. Follow Casually Cool Dance on Instagram for more information. On March 27th, head over to Mitchell Hall to pet Oscar, the fluffy golden retriever. Oscar is a St. John's Ambulance therapy dog who will be greeting students on the main floor from 12 to 1 p.m. Feel free to drop in at any point during the hour. On March 28th, head to Amaranth Stoneware to create garden gnomes from 6 to 8 p.m. This event is a fun introduction to clay with lots of opportunity to get creative and learn how to create pottery at home. This class includes clay, tools, glaze, firing, and inspiration. Reserve your spot for $12 at amaranthstoneware.ca. Also on March 28th, head over to Daft Brewing from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. for Rowena Way's Signature Bingo. This event is free and there's no need to register. On March 29th, Fresh Food Market Pop-Up, an initiative of Kingston Community Health Centers, will appear at the YMCA from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Fresh Food Market Pop-Up brings affordable produce and chef-created gourmet healthy options to Kingston and surrounding areas every week. Visit freshfoodmkt.ca for more. On March 30th, Hockey Canada's national women's team will play a pre-tournament game against Finland at 3 p.m. at Slush Puppy Place. Don't miss the return of best-on-best hockey in Kingston. Secure your tickets now at ticketmaster.ca. Are you a trans, non-binary, genderqueer, genderfluid, or any other non-cisgender person who wants a safer space to swim and to meet other students and wider trans community members? Head over to the Athletic and Recreation Center on March 31st at 2:30 p.m. for a solidarity swim. Swimmers will meet at the ARC Earl Street entrance at 2:20 p.m. This event is free and open to the wider Kingston community. For more information and to register, visit gogalesgo.com. Moving into our concerts for the week, on March 25th, Comeback Kid will be performing at the Broom Factory from 7:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. featuring Spy and Prow. Tickets are $25 and can be purchased at ticketscene.ca. Also on the 25th, Inner Harbor Trio will be performing for free at the RCHA Club from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. On March 26th, Tom Savage will be hosting an afternoon happy hour jam at the RCHA Club. This is an open mic jam with Tom Savage and friends where everyone is welcome. The event is free and runs from 4 to 7 p.m. On March 27th, head to Spearhead Brewery from 7 to 10 p.m. to listen to covers of Blue Radio, Neil Young, Mumford & Sons, and The Lumineers for free. On the 28th, Cassie Noble will be performing at the RCHA Club from 7 to 9 p.m. for free. On the 29th, The Change will be performing at the RCHA Club from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Cover is $10. On March 30th, there will be a free karaoke night at the Royal Tavern from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Also on the 30th, Scott Rulau and friends will be performing at Spearhead Brewery from 7 to 10 p.m. This event is free and open to all ages. And lastly, on the 31st, Craig Jones will be performing at Spearhead Brewery from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for free. This event is all ages. This has been Danielle with your weekly event and concerts calendar from March 25th to 31st. Wishing you all a great week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.